Today's Perek in Tanakh is Shmuel Beit, Perek Yud Aleph. So the last Perek that we learned was the war that David himself had led with all of the army of Yisrael against Aram, destruction of the 700 tanks and the 40,000 Parashim, and the end of Shovach, and all of the possibility of anyone ever once again coming now as mercenaries to protect people that were on the target of David. And that left Ammon open to attack. Of course, at the time, there was not sufficient reason nor sufficient arms that were there in the field to actually take Ammon. As we pointed out, you needed a good reason to be able to prove that the Umayyads, that the Torah had ushered you from fighting, which include Ammon and Moab, the Isra of Lo Tatsur, and the other cases where there were Britot that had provided them protection, that they were the ones who would be Peretz Tehila and that you would respond to that Pirtza. So that happened there, and that was the reason that there was the attack against Hadadezer. And now it was really time for wiping up operations against Ammon. Bnei Ammon, never thought that they would be able to actually hold out against Yisrael. That's why the whole story with Hanun only took place when he knew that he had backing in the form of these mercenaries that were going to be coming from the north and would be protecting him. But now he was left vulnerable. And so it was just a matter of time. It was winter time at that point, and there was no reason for pursuing the battle against Ammon at the time. And we saw that Yoav had come back. And so Vayilu Tshuvat Hashana La'et Seit HaMalachim. When now the year had turned into the summer, into the spring, times that the kings have a tendency to go out and battle, because that's where you... No, it's fuel. It's basically a question of fuel lines. Remember, in our terms, if you cannot provide the logistical support, there's not going to be fuel, then you're not going to attempt a long-distance kind of operation. In those days, the fuel was fodder. So if there's no sun, there's no fodder, there's no energy. In those days, they worked on solar energy. And so, a little more sophisticated than today, you know, chasing after all those dead dinosaurs. And it's really so therefore, they waited until it was a convenient time to go after Ammon. And what they would have to do is attack Ammon, Rabat Bnei Ammon. And the way to do that was to besiege it. And so since it wasn't an active battle, Vayishlach David et Yoav ve'et Avadav imo ve'et Kol Yisrael. So he sent the army out really for mopping up operations. You know, just to wreck their land, because they weren't going to come out and fight. They were in the cities. Vayashchitu et Bnei Ammon vayatsuru al Rabba. So they went and they really tore things up and then went out to besiege Ammon. And David, meanwhile, is Yoshev Yerushalayim, because this is not a war that requires his presence and great bravery and so on. So he's there. Vayila eta erev, vayakum David me'al mishkavo. And so it was towards the evening that David gets up from his nap. Vayitalecha gag beit hamelech. Something is very strange about this. David got up from his nap. And the Gemara Bracha says that David never slept, that it was mitnanem kisus, that he had the magic harp above his head that would always wake him up at Chatzot Laila, and that he slept maybe like a horse, you know. Shishim Nimin, what, standing up. I mean, what in the world is this about? David HaMelech getting up from his nap. I mean, that's like really weird. And I mean, he says, Chatzot Laila, Kum Lecha Lodot, HaMishpatei Tzidkech, something is happening. And so Chazal tell us that obviously what happened over here had to have had a background. There was a reason why he was taking naps in the afternoon, and it was a specific reason. David HaMelech had been mevi atzmo lidei nisayon. This, the Gemara in Shabbos says, was a terrible thing, and you should learn, says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, never bring yourself lidei nisayon. Because when you bring yourself lidei nisayon, you fail. And what happened is that David HaMelech told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you said that you're going to make me, this is a continuation from the Malchut, you said as part of the Malchut, that you're going to give me a shame that's going to be Gadol, like a shame the Gadolim. Okay, what does that mean? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. If it's Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, why is it that the Shemona Esrei should not include Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov, Elohei David? Isn't that what it means? Aren't you, you're making me primary. I'm primary. What, I get a little broch at the end of the Haftorah? Come on. No, Magen David's got to be better than that, no? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them, look, you know, the difference is that the Ovais, they had to fight for what they got. It was Nisyonos. Each one of them was Eimed B'Nisayon. You didn't have any Nisyonot. You just, you know, went through life doing your thing, growing and so on, but you never proved anything. Oh, says David, okay. So go ahead. And this is from Tehillim. He says, B'choneini v'naseini. Go ahead. Give me a Mifchan. Make my day. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to him, okay, you know what? Not only will I make your day, I'm going to make your night. So I'm going to tell you, the Nisayon, it's all about sex. Now you even know what it's about. Okay, now go ahead. Now you're forewarned. Says the Gemara, David's brilliant solution to that problem was to spend the day in bed. So he figures if I have sex 10 times a day, how much could I possibly fail by having this Nisayon? Now he overlooked, says the Gemara, a minor issue, which is the more you want. So that's Ever Katan Yeshlo Ba'adam Mas Bio Ra'ev Mar Ivo Saveya. So that was not exactly the best way to deal with the issue. And therefore, he got up from his nap, and what do you know what he was doing in his nap? And because of that, he got into more trouble than he would have otherwise. Now, the truth is, of course, that this is, Bichlal, an indication of central issues to the Malchus. We understand that it wasn't just a Yosef-type kind of thing. Let's test you and see how strong you are. We know that the entire Malchus revolves around the ability to handle sexual issues, starting from Boaz and Ruth, going back to the Benot of Lot, going back to Yehuda v'Tamar. It's obvious to anyone who followed the history of the Malchus and who follows the future of the Malchus, in which we have the whole story of David's old age, which is all sexually oriented, the whole Gemara. The Mesiras HaMalchus was a sexual act with both Avishag HaShunamit and Batsheva present. That means that the issues here begin Batsheva's presence at the end of the Mesiras HaMalchus. To Shlomo means that this had something to do with the nature of the Malchut. Not surprisingly, following this story, the very next story is another sex scandal, which is the Tamar and Avshalom and so on. So this is not a small thing. When he's saying, okay, we're ready to deal with the issue, this now is the beginning of his failures as a melech, because if he can't deal with the issue, then indeed he's shown that the Bichoneni v'naseni is not something that he's ready yet to be omitted. And so we find him at this moment getting up from a nap, which is the end of his day. Vayila eta erev, vayokom David me'amishkavo, vayitalecha gag beit hamelech, the non-suitability of this whole thing in the middle of a war. And he obviously did not take this war. I mean, people are getting killed. Very, very much like we have today. People could be getting killed in Gaza, and you know, life goes on in the shopping centers, and people are going to movies, and everything's the same. He's back in Yerushalayim, taking a nap and playing games in the middle of the afternoon. And he gets up, and he's walking our Gag Beit HaMelech. There he is on the roof. Vayar Isha Rochetzet Me'al HaGag. And he sees a woman who's coming out of the bath. From his roof. Now, that's not a very normal thing to see when you're walking on the roof. So there's a whole story in the Medrash that it was a whole act of a sultan, that there was sent a bird in that direction, and David fired at the bird, smashed the roof above the area that Bathsheba was bathing in, and gets to see what he normally wouldn't have seen. And boy, she is pretty. Vaisha tovat mar'eh me'od, just in case you wonder. So she looked really good. Vayishlach David vayidrosh leisha. And so, David goes out and sends now messengers to find out, now give me all the details, check it out. Vayomer, so the messenger says, halozot bat sheva bat Eliam, eshet Uriah Hiti. Well, you know who that is. Now, what do you mean halozot? That is weird. Just say, Ha'isha hi bat sheva bat aliyam eshet uri ha'chitim. You say, hello, zot. You're obviously saying something that you expect. That's her. What do you mean, that's her? I just stumbled over this. Aha. So Chazal tell us that actually Ru'uya hayta bat sheva le David from Sheshit Yimei Bereshit. She's called bat sheva, Shem the Malchus, the seventh Midah. I mean, this is what they're telling him is, this is the woman that's been in place for you to father the Malchus. This is where Shlomo is meant to come from. This is where the whole future is going to come from. This obviously has been given to you as your opportunity to take care of that. Oh, well, how do you like that, says David? What an amazing thing. Kodesh Baruch Hu being mara me in this strange way of how it is that I can father the Malchus. That's great. So, well, she sure will be soon. Vayishlach David malachim. And so David sends messengers. Vayikacheha. Vatovoelav. He takes her, she comes to him. I mean, the whole thing is almost laconic. You know, yeah, he sends messengers, and she comes to him. Vayishkavim, and they sleep together. What? Vayimit kadeshesh mitumata? Oh, well, you know, she might have been an Eshetish, but I mean, after all, she wasn't an Ida, you know. What in the world is that supposed to mean? So, there's no question, once you read those words, that it's telling you she was definitely not an Eshetish. It's absurd for the Torah to tell you, well, at least he cared about Nida. So, I mean, what it's saying is that she, chas v'shalom, there was no Nidas over there, there was no Isurim over here. V'atashov el beita. Why was there no Isurim? So Chazal told us there no Isurim. Because of the fact that anybody who went out in Milchemet Beit David, and this we saw earlier when David HaMelech himself went out as his father had sent him originally, that's what made him king in the first place, really. He was sent out there. That's how he became famous. He was supposed to be taking their Eravon, which is the get that the father won. That's where he learned that that's what you're supposed to do. So any Milchemet Beit David, he applied what it was that his father had been mitakeh. We can't have your brothers out there and not send a get, and God only knows if something happens to them or what's going to be with their wives and family. It's a disaster. So make sure that you get a get from them. He put that into practice. So that was one of the first things that we saw of his relationship to war, which means that Uriah Hachiti was not married to this woman. According to some, there was a conditional divorce that would be chal if he died. But according to Tosfos, it wasn't a conditional divorce. It was an absolute divorce. Fine. So, Vatara Isha. So she gets pregnant. Vatishlach vatageit David vatomer haranoch. It sounds like something out of a, you know, out of a, what do they call it?
Soap opera.
Yeah. Soap opera. She sends a message to David. I got pregnant. Now what? So, well, that's true. In other words, obviously it's very early on in her pregnancy, enough for him to think that he can cover it by having her get pregnant, supposedly, from her husband. Now, Lemaisa, what had really happened, and the Zohar points this out, that the event of the war was on the 7th, it started off immediately after Shavuos, that's the Eta Malachim. So immediately after Shavuos is Zayin B'Sivan. He sees her 3 months later, so that she is now definitely not pregnant from her husband. So in other words, he needed to wait to make sure that there was 3 months in between in order to be mavdil. Okay, so he knew that she wasn't pregnant. So that means that it was definitely his child. So what it has to be is that, I mean, so how are you going to cover that? That's a real problem. So, and Achinami said, Mefarshim say that, look, when she said Hara Anochi, she must have taken a pregnancy test. You know, so whatever it was, the Ralbach says that they would test for vaginal fluid. If she was very dry, it was a sign of pregnancy, whatever. But it wasn't even time to miss a period. I mean, she found out immediately that she was pregnant. And she sent him, I'm pregnant. So David figures, okay, the only thing we can do is let her husband think that she's pregnant from him.
So he would be running kares with her when he comes back from war, is that it?
Well, that's already a question. How would he be, according to those who hold that it was an absolute, then what was he going to do about that? That's the Mefarshim actually discussed that, why it is that he felt he had a right to do that. But let's keep it simple. because that's already technical halachic issues. If it would be a get, then it would be, does it mean that it's absolutely mevatel the get, the ways to do it? Did he do it as a hira hashah, because it would have been going on tremendous problems if people had found out about it? A lot of discussion. Okay. Yes, of course. Yeah, I mean, otherwise he obviously couldn't have covered it. He could make it look like it was a 6 month pregnancy, but he couldn't make it look like it was a 9 month pregnancy, and he couldn't do anything about it now if it's 3 months difference. So therefore, he needs Uriah Chiti back home fast. So he sends a message to Yoav, who's out in Amman. Shalach elayet Uriah Chiti. Now, Uriah Chiti is one of the 37 Giborim of David. We're going to find out later. He's a major, major player in this war. And David wants to discuss, ostensibly, needs to discuss the tactics and so on. So send me Uriah Chiti. Why shalach Yoav et Uriah el David? Vayavo Uriah elav. Okay, so David wants all the details. Vayishal David l'shalom Yoav, l'shalom Am, l'shalom Am. Obviously, it wasn't just a simple question of shalom. He wanted to know everything that was being planned and how everybody was doing and how long the siege was going to take and things like that. Okay, so after the conversation, Vayomer David l'Uriah reid l'beitcha rechatz raglech. Okay, look, once you're here already, why not take a little R&R, go back home, wash up, and, you know, have fun. And Vayetzi Uriah mibeit ha-melech. So Uriah goes out, and Vatetze acharav masat ha-melech. And so he sent now this beautiful meal, and, you know, this, because, candles, champagne, the whole thing. And no, meanwhile, Uriah takes his sleeping bag, and he spreads it out in the front door of the house, of Nadi's house, of the castle. Vayishkav Uriah petach beit hamelach et kol avdei Adonav, where all the people are coming in and out, there were messages coming back from the war. He puts out his sleeping bag and he refuses to go home. V'lo yarad el beito. Now David, of course, is waiting to make sure that everything went according to plan. So vayagidu le David lemor, lo yarad Uriah el beito. He never went home. Vayomer David el Uriah, David calls in Uriah. You know, you've come from the road, and you have an opportunity to do your conjugal duties. Why didn't you go to your home? I gave you an opportunity. Vayomer Uriah el David. Ha'aron v'Yisrael v'Yehuda yoshvim basukot. I don't know what you guys here think this is, some type of armchair general game that you're playing. You know, the Aron, not the Aron Abriz, but the Aron with the Shiva Luchas, according to Reish Lakish, or whatever the second Aron that they would have, all of the army, both of Yisrael and Yehuda, are out there, Basukot. I mean, so they've got their tents up. They don't have homes and wives. And the people that are serious fighters around here, they don't even have tents. They have sleeping bags on the open field. But I'm supposed to go home with champagne and candlelight. It's absurd. I understand what you're saying. So I'm supposed to be sleeping with my wife. I swear to God, and I swear over your own soul. Nobody's going to get me to do that kind of thing. Now, this is obviously Merida. You cannot get a more chutzpahic statement. I mean, what Chazal focus on is the word Adoni Yoav, which exposes the whole thing. You don't say to the king, I take my orders from Yoav, not from you. Because that's basically what it boils down to. My master Yoav. You say to the king, my master Yoav? But the whole tone is like, who the heck do you think you are commanding this type of absurdity? It's obviously only a pampered and ridiculous king that says this kind of thing, and that's the whole tone. So at this moment, Chazal say Uriah was chayev to be killed. Problem is, we can't kill him yet because we need him to do his thing. So Vayomer David al Uriah.
Militarily, or his thing?
No, to get her pregnant. He's still hoping to get her pregnant. Vayomer David al Uriah. Okay, shev bazeh gam ayom. All right, look, stay another day. We'll have some more discussions. U'machar shalacha. I'll send you back to the battle tomorrow. So, Vayeshev Uriah Yerushalayim, Mimeyal Mahu, till the next day. So, the day afterwards, in other words, that the second day. So, Vayikralo David, so David figures, okay, I'll get him drunk, he'll forget the whole business, he'll go back home. Vayokalafana, Vayesh, Vayeshakreyo. you know, a little bit of drugs inside his drink. It's the old trick. Vayetze va'erev lishkav v'mishkavoy mavdei Adonav v'beito lo yarat. He did the same thing, dead drunk. Spread out his sleeping bed and did not go home. This guy's a serious man. And so the only thing to do was to get rid of him. Because, first of all, he was high of misa at that point. And it certainly needed to be covered now that his wife got pregnant, at least legally. So then if he would be killed, David would be able to marry her. So vayiva voker. So it's in the morning now. Vayiktov David sefer Yoav. So David writes a little missive to Yoav. Vayishlach biyad Uriah. And Uriah brings the letter commanding his execution. This is nasty. Vayiktov basefer leimor. And he writes to Yoav. Havu et Uriah el mul pnei hamilchama hachazaka. Vishafte meachorav v'nikav amet. I want you to put Uriah in place where you know there's going to be a rough attack, and then do not provide him with cover, and then he'll be killed. So Yoav did not exactly like that command. Now, I mean, the command is Mupnei HaMilchama HaZakah, is that essentially what you would do is you would put the strongest groupings around the areas where the breakouts would occur. In other words, there was a constant probing of the siege. So there would be breakouts out of the city. People would come, and there were places where there were giborim, that's the Milchama Chazaka. Those were places where the breakouts would occur. And so you always had the strongest people that were facing those areas. Put him there. Normally, when that would happen, everybody would protect people that were there with fire and so on. And they would generally make it out of there. Don't provide him. Turn aside from him. Shafta miyafara. Let him die. So vayivishmo Yoav el ha'ir. Vayiten et Uriah el ha'makom asher yadaki anshei chayel sham. Now, what he did was, he put Uriah where you put these strong people. Uriah, after all, is a leader. Puts him where the anshei chayel are. And indeed they come out. Vayitzu anshei ha'ir.
Of the enemy.
Vayitzu anshei ha'ir. Vayilachamu et Yoav. Vayipo mena'am miavdei David. In the end, Yoav did not follow orders, and he just put him in a place where, relying on the nature of war, that he would get killed. He didn't withdraw his support for him. And so he put him in a place where it was very dangerous. Vayishlach Yoav, vayaged David et kol divrei ha-milchama. And so in his day's report, he writes up the events of the day. Vayitzav et ha-malach leimor, and he tells the messenger that is supposed to give over the details of this report. Now, you're going to say over the whole story, I know what's going to happen. He's going to be really upset. He's going to get angry, and he's going to say, that is insane. Why in the world would you have gone up directly against a city that's in siege and take a chance of getting within fire range? What are you, stupid? You know that you're going to be putting people under fire because they could fire on them from the top of the wall. Why take a chance? Not only did you do that, but you went straight up to attack a city, a walled city. Mihikat Avimelech ben Yerubeshet. You remember the story with Avimelech, the son of Yerubal. I don't want to even say that word, Yerubal, but Yeruboshet. And hello, Ishai, Shmichalav Pelach Rega, you might have forgotten your Tanakh. You know that a woman was able to kill the strongest guy by throwing a piece of the Rechav of the grindstone me'alakoma. Vayomat Tevet, why did you do that? Lominigashta alakoma. Well, if the king says that to you, what you need to tell him is, Vyamarta, let him know. Now, this was meant to sound like, the way the Malbim understands it, it's a beautiful pshat. This was meant to sound like, everybody knows Uriah Achiti. He's a madman. He's completely into war. So this, I want you to make it very clear to the king, this was not my orders. You want to know who's behind this? I'm letting you know in a nice way. Uriah Achiti died. Why do you think Uriah Achiti died? Because he's a madman. I didn't put him up against the wall. There was a breakout from the city that was properly arranged, and he got so into killing the soldiers from Amman that he decided he's going to try to use it as And it is a way of actually breaking into them, you know? So that's what happened. So I don't want to blame it on Uriyakiti straight out, but if the king gets upset and he makes it sound like we're idiots, tell him I'm not the idiot.
Does he recover from
No, he wants David to know that this is the way that Uriah was killed and that it happened. But he wanted it not to, it wasn't normal for him to give over the information of who had been killed. So in order to give it over in a way that would not look suspicious to the Malach, that's the Malvin's approach. So he said it in this way, which would have meant to David that, okay, now I understand. So to David it would have meant one thing, and to the person bringing the information, it would have meant another thing that we're discussing, the what appeared to be tactical errors.
David told Yoav
to
send Uriah
and not give him cover.
But he sends him with cover.
He actually sends him with cover to make a sortie against the city. It was very dangerous, but David's response implies that it made sense. This again, the Malbim says, that look, the alternative is to have a siege that can go on for a year and that there's constantly attacks that are coming. So in other words, you're always fending off attacks. It's gonna kill a lot of people along the way. Yeah, that's attrition. So therefore, David held that instead of a war of attrition, that this is a good idea. Let's just go and get it over with, because in the end, the costs are going to be higher. And look how well that fits into the pasuk when we read it. It's a brilliant shot in the moment. So he goes, and he figures, you know, Yoav is being awfully nice. I'll just tell him straight out. David et kol asher shelakho Yoav, and he didn't wait. He simply said, "Vayomer Hamalach al David." And you understand how this happened, because ki gavru aleinu anashim veyetzinu aleinu asadeh. You see clearly. We didn't go up there. They came out to us. So what? Then what happened to the whole story? Oh, v'niyeh. And then what happened is v'niyeh aleim at petach hashar. So we were chasing them. And then, vayora morim elav adech mi'alachoma, v'yamutu mi'avdei ha'melech, v'gam avdech ha'uriah ha'kiti made you. You understand who would be in charge of that kind of sortie. So, Uriah ha'kiti, because he's one of the leading generals of the Gibori David. And he did that. And obviously he really did. This really is what happened. In other words, Yoav understood that this could really be a turning point in the war, used Uriah, and if Lamaisa, what David is saying is that this guy is Chayav Misa, and so the Gemara says the Taina against David is you should have been done in B'Sanhedrin, even though Melech is not Mechliyev to do that. But the point over here is that if this thing gets out, and of course, ultimately it gets out, if this thing gets out, then the damage on morale, the damage on transparency is horrific. You can give all the excuses you want. He was Chayef Maisa, he was a Mered, and she was Reuya, and she wasn't married. The horrible, horrible impact of knowing that things are going on in the war that take into consideration hidden things that we don't know about means that you do not have the confidence of your army anymore. Even if they're legal things, that it's not legality, it's the power of justice, not to legalize something. And that we're going to see is the whole response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to this. It has nothing to do with the fact of Uriah's death or the fact of his sleeping with Bathsheba. That is not the problem. That becomes very clear later. It's because of that Chazal makes such a fundamental statement that anybody who thinks that David was Chote is completely wrong. It's not based on some strange Kabbalah. It's based on a clear-cut analysis of the Psukim, as we'll see. I mean, anybody who reads that line of Uriah's response knows that he's a Marid B'Malchus. You don't need the Gemara to tell you that. There's no way to read that in any way that's in consonance with the way one has to speak to a Melech. It's horrific, really. I mean, think how you would have felt as a Melech. Somebody, you would have the guy killed on the spot.
Regardless of the relationship to Bathsheba.
Nothing to do with Bathsheba. No, I mean, that's accidental that it happened to be in this context. That's number one. Now, there's another issue that's happening over here. That is the fact that Yoav knows what's going on. He gets this order. He understands the order. And as a matter of fact, it's even possible, if we don't take the approach of the Malbim, it's even possible that he wants people to know about this order, which is why he says to the Malach, and let him know that Uriah Hittite died. Batsheva is the granddaughter of Achitophel. Achitophel ends up being the most disastrous enemy of David in the merit of Shalom. The fact that Uriah spoke this way and spoke about Adoni Yoav v'Avdei Adoni is a very dangerous indication to David. Very telling. In other words, there is an incipient merida going on. It's very unlikely that this is something that happened just on the part of Uriah. We know that Achitophel, in no time at all, ends up openly turning it. Now, you could say, as some, I think the Malbim itself suggests, that maybe the reason Achitophel was so against David was because it was his granddaughter. We don't see any indication of that. So what's more likely is that David sensed all along that there are problems. Yoav is a problem. We know Yoav is a problem. We know that. I mean, he openly said to all of his advisors, these Bnei Tzuria are kashim imeni, and God should pay them back what they deserve, because I can't handle them. That's not a good position for a king, to have advisors and generals that he can't handle, obviously. So this is a problem. He senses that Uriah is part of this group. There's a group. Adoni Yoav, Vavdei Adoni. So when there is something like this that happens, maybe it's not a bad idea for Yoav to get the information. This guy needs to be gotten rid of. I don't like the way he talks. It's as simple as that. Okay. So if that's the case, if it were known that there are ways of dealing with these things without having court martials and so on and so forth, there is certainly a possible justification in one's own mind for dealing with things in this way. And not for bringing it into Sanhedrin. But everybody has to know that there's a sense of dissatisfaction in the army and with the way that David is handling things and so on. We will see in tomorrow's parak that Yoav is nervous. Very interesting little thing happens in which Yoav wants David to be the one who's present when they actually take over Ammon, because he does not want it said that he did it. Now, you could read that as profound loyalty for David, or you could read it as, I am nervous. Don't want to be in the position that you were vis-a-vis Shaul with everybody singing your praises. Okay, so we're going to see all of this. I mean, there's a lot of between-the-line currents, tensions, and all types of things that may well be taken into consideration here by David on many different levels. Vayomer David el Hamalach. Now, this is what I want you to say to Yoav. Don't take this to heart. Now, that is a new order. That's the beauty of it. And that's the Malbim's diyuk. They were never told to take the city until today. It was supposed to be a siege. When he says, be machazikim, go straight for the jugular. Destroy the city. That does not mean keep it in siege. It means go out and attack it. Meaning, I actually approve of this new tactic. I think Uriah Hittite was right. And even if it costs us, the bottom line is kazev kazet tochal acheref, if it's a war of attrition, it's going to keep taking lives anyway. So why do you think that it's better for us to spend a year on this, losing soldiers every day? Let's go directly for the jugular. Be mechazik, Yoav, and tell him, don't take the losses to heart, because in the end the losses would have occurred over the next period of time. Instead, just keep it up. Okay? So he goes back with those orders. See how beautifully meduyak it is, his approach. Vatishma eshet Uriah ki met Uriah isha. So she hears that her husband has died. Vatispod al ba'ala. So she keeps the dinner of Avelut for a husband. Vayavor ha'evel, at the end of the Avelut. Vayishlach David vayasval beto. David sends for her, brings her into his home, and takes her officially. Vatilo liisha. And vatele lo bein. Amazingly, it is only now, vayera ha'davar asher asa David b'nei Adonai. I mean, if he was sleeping with an eshet ish, now is when it's vayera ha'davar. It's clear by putting this at the end that it's the picture that is ugly, not any particular event. There was no particular thing that you can point your finger to, but it's this moment. So now she's his wife, and now he has his baby, and now Uriah is dead because he's a married b'malchus, and now the get turns out to have been a kosher get if it was Altanai, because you saw to it that the guy was killed. Lovely, really lovely. Every legal I dotted and every T crossed, and it stinks to high heaven. That's what the Pesuk is saying. Because otherwise, first of all, I don't need a psak that Vayera Adavar. Obviously, Vayera Adavar. I mean, you need to tell me that you're doing something wrong with an Eish Ish and with murder. So again, it's so clear what Chazal is saying. The thing that's wrong with this is that it stinks to high heaven. That's all that's wrong. There's no particular event that's wrong.
The letter is being followed, but the Syrian is being violated. Is that what we're saying?
Well, one could say that, but I think it's much more than that. It's that the context is being violated. What you need to establish as a melech is being violated. The honesty, the transparency, the belief that people have in you. The dignity, everything that we saw until now was that.
Was, yeah.
Exactly. And this is like a violation.
Always the women. Yeah. Always the women.
So this has twisted the tmimut, the openness, all of the things that we admired in David into rationalizations, all of which were true, but we still call them rationalizations. There's nothing legally not so, but that's not the point of Malchut. The point of Malchut is the very sense of the emergent picture. That's what Malchut is. It's not about a Moshel. It's not about a Shofed. It's about an emergent picture. And therefore, when the picture emerges at the end of the story, only then are we told, Vayera HaDavar, Asher Asa David, Beinei Hashem.
But only Beinei Hashem.